Blessing. All right. Thank you. Didn't our team do a good job leading us in worship this morning? Amen? Amen. Amen. So there are multiple things happening right now. Some coloring things are coming to kids, some activity pages. And the ushers are handing out some little pieces of paper that I will explain near the end of our message. But we're going to get started. I hope you had a good Christmas season. We had just a great Advent season as a church, talking about what it means that Jesus, that God became flesh, that God became one of us in Christ, and it was a beautiful time celebrating Jesus together. I do want to mention and want to pray for the family right now. Monique is here, and Walter Branch passed away this week. If you missed the email that went out, so we want to be praying for Monique and for the family. There is not going to be a funeral or memorial at this time. There will be a graveside memorial in the spring. So, but we want to pray for Monique and for the family as we get started this morning. All right, let's do that. Father, we worship you, we love you, we thank you that you are a faithful God, and thank you that you're faithful with us through the challenging seasons of life as well, and we lift up Monique to you right now. Pray that you would surround her with your peace and your comfort. Pray that you would surround the family and that you would be their strength as they walk through a season of grief, a season of mourning and saying goodbye to Walter. And Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness through all of it. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So, it is almost New Year's. We're almost there. And we are on the threshold of a new year. And one of the things that we tend to do around this time of year is to make resolutions, to make, you know, plans and stuff for the new year and look ahead to what is next year going to be like. And a couple things about resolutions. One is, if you're going to make them, they need to be relatively specific. This person just wants to be more awesome than last year. That's not very specific. So if you want to actually see things be different next year in 2019, you actually have to set some specific goals, right? Just being more awesome is not quite helpful. And then some people respond like one of my favorites, Calvin, when Hobbes asked him what his New Year's resolution was. Resolutions? Me? Just what are you implying? That I need to change? Well, buddy, as far as I'm concerned, I'm perfect just the way I am. So we need to all realize that we all need to change in 2019, right? There is nobody in this room that their life couldn't be improved by some changes. And if you doubt that, ask the person beside you. They will tell you the truth. Right? So, we're on the threshold of a new year. God has, I know this, I don't have to guess this, I don't have to wonder this, because I know the God that we serve, and I know that God has incredible things on his heart and mind for you in 2019. When he thinks of the year ahead for you, he smiles and he says, I can't wait to unfold some beautiful things in their lives. But in order for us to step into the new things that God has for us, as we stand on the threshold, thresholds are places of transition, right? When we walk through a threshold of a door, we leave one thing behind and we enter something new. We enter something different. Thresholds are places of transition. We have the tradition, I guess, in our marriage traditions. I don't know how many grooms and brides still do this, but we have the tradition that the groom is supposed to carry the bride across the threshold with, a more and more equal society. I don't know how many brides carry their husbands across the threshold, but it would be a great statistic to find out. But why do they do that? What's that about? Well, it's about this special moment of crossing the threshold from single life into married life, from life as individuals to life as one flesh unit, as one together, right? And so there's a special moment of crossing that threshold into the marriage bed where the marriage is consummated and the moment of coming together as one happens. And so thresholds, we have this tradition of carrying over the threshold. We have the saying that we're on the threshold of something great. I mean, we know that's a saying that we use, right? That we understand what that means, that there's this sense or this feeling that something really great is about to happen. Things are lining up just so. Or we talk about doors of opportunity, right? We wait for these doors of opportunity to open, and we speak of this, we use this language because we know that when we go through a door, we are leaving one thing behind and entering something new and different. And so as we think about 2019, as we think about leaving behind 2018 and entering into a new year, and we stand on this threshold, I think there are probably, and this is what the green and red papers are about. We'll explain that more at the end, but there are some things from 2018 that you need to leave behind. There are some things that you do not want following you into 2019. And there are some things waiting for you in 2019. And again, I just picture God, just your Heavenly Father, just can't wait for you to find what's waiting for you in 2019. The blessings he's hidden and stored away for you in the year ahead. And so let's look at some of this threshold business. Threshold of freedom. Genesis 4. Seems like a strange place to go on a New Year's Eve message. Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 4. So, if you're familiar with the scriptures, you may be familiar with this story that Adam and Eve's children, Cain and Abel, some sibling rivalry going on, and Abel had he was a shepherd, and he offered to God some animals. It actually says he chose the best of the animals from his flock and offered them as a sacrifice to God. And then it says, and Cain brought some grain. And God looked favorably on Abel's sacrifice and not favorably on Cain's. And there's a couple reasons, I think, why that is. Some debate about it, I guess. But Abel's sacrifice was a blood sacrifice. It involved something dying, the shedding of blood, and that was significant. But also, where it says that Abel chose the best. He sought through all of his sheep and looked through and he found the very best. He wanted to give the best to God. And then it says Cain brought some grain. He just grabbed a bag of grain and here, God, you know, here's something for you, right? And so God looked favorably on Abel's and not favorably on Cain's. And So Cain becomes very angry about the fact that his sacrifice, his gift, was not looked on the same as Abel's. And verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. So I want to expand this a little bit, because I believe that for all of us, there are seasons and times when sin is crouching at our door, when there's some aspect of our hearts, some darkened aspect of our hearts that gets stirred up by temptation, by greed, by selfishness, by our own desires, whatever it is, something gets stirred up inside of us and sin is crouching at our door and it wants to have us. So one of the things that lies in wait for you, that wants to get a hold of you in 2019, would be the power of sin. It wants to get a hold of you in 2019. Right? And if it gets a hold of you, it pulls you away from God's best for you. But I think there are other things too, not just sin. I think we sang a song today, a beautiful song, but I am no longer a slave to fear. Fear wants to get a hold of you in 2019. There are things that were not accomplished or realized in your life in 2018 because fear held you back. Because fear caused you to not launch out and risk something and trust God in a greater level of faith that He wanted you to step into. Fear wants to have you in 2019. Sin wants to have you. There are things that want to hold on to your life. The lies and intimidation of the enemy of your soul There are things that you believed about yourself in 2018 that you need to not believe about yourself in 2019. There are lies that the enemy told you, and you bought them. You listened to him. And because of that, you didn't trust God the way that he was waiting for you to. How do I know that? Because it's all true of me too, right? And so God says to Cain that sin is crouching at your door and it wants to have you. And as we expand that a little bit this morning, these other things as well. Fear is crouching at your door. It wants to have you. The lies of the enemy are crouching at your door. They want to have you. The distractions, the confusions, the things that the enemy wants to throw at you to keep you from God's best in the year ahead are crouching at your door and they want to have you. But then it says, but you must rule over it. You must master it. See, I think so many times we get in this place where we're not walking in victory. And we're waiting, we're just kind of in frozen mode, we're in hold mode, just waiting, God, you're going to step in and fix this, right? You're going to step in and make the enemy go away, right? You're going to step in and deal with this, right? But God says to Cain, you must rule over it. See, there's some things that we have to do to come into, to align ourselves with what God says about our lives in order to put ourselves in a place of victory and overcoming. There are things we need to do. So what are those things? Well, first of all, we need to recognize when the enemy is lying to us. That's a biggie, isn't it? Because the enemy tells believable lies. He's been lying for thousands of years. He's a liar and the father of lies. Everything that he speaks, Jesus said this in John 8, everything he speaks, it's his native language to lie. He is so good at it that he gets us to believe his lies. And so we need to identify the lies of the enemy in our lives, the things that he has told us that cause us to shrink back in fear instead of advancing and overcoming. We need to recognize those things. We need to repent. Yes, you need to repent. I need to repent of the lies that we believed. Need to repent of that. We don't just say, oh, I guess I believe something that wasn't true. Oh, well, move on. No, we actually need to repent of believing the enemy's lies. Need to put those lies behind us and say we're not walking on that path anymore. And we need to align ourselves with the truth of what God says about us. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you have surrendered your life to Him, to follow Him, to live for Him, then the Bible says about you, God says about you, that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High. That He has taken your sin upon Himself, and he has put his righteousness upon you. And so when the enemy comes with his lies to say, Who do you think you are? You don't deserve to have victory this year. You don't deserve to advance. You don't deserve to do well. You just deserve God's judgment. God just wants to punish you in 2019. He just wants to make your life miserable because you've made him miserable in 20. I mean, these lies that come at us, right? He tries to pull us into a place of believing that we are not loved by God, that we are rejected by God, that we are not his children, that we are slaves. He wants to pull us back into slavery. And so we must master it. We must rule over it. We must choose to step into a place. There are some choices to make as you enter into 2019. On the threshold of a new year, there are some choices to make. Am I going to walk in the junk that I walked in last year, or am I going to step into some new stuff? Am I going to step into God's best in the year ahead? In 1 Samuel 5, there's a really interesting threshold story. 1 Samuel 5. So the Philistines and the Israel had gone to war with the Philistines. Philistines captured the Ark of God, took it from Ebenezer, which was a place where the battle happened, took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Ashdod was one of the Philistine. There were five Philistine cities. This was one of the Philistine cities. Took the Ark of the Covenant to Ashdod. Then they carried, when they get to Ashdod, they carried the ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. Dagon was a false god of the Philistines. Some say it was kind of a sea monster god or whatever, because the Philistines were a seafaring people. But this Dagon, they brought the ark of the Lord, the Ark of the true God, into the temple of Dagon and put it beside. So they were basically saying, well, here's another god to put beside Dagon and we'll just worship them both. Right? It's a bad idea. Right? So they put it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face, on the ground before the ark of the Lord. So the idol of this false god Dagon had fallen on its face in front of the ark. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. Isn't that sad? Poor little god needs somebody to pick him up and put him back in his place, right? I mean, the things that we worship in this world so often are just as pathetic. When we trust in our bank accounts and we trust in Mr. Visa and we trust in our stuff, right? It burns up. It disappears. It's just as pathetic. Yeah, too quickly. And it's just as pathetic as worshiping Dagon. They took Dagon and they put him back in his place. But the following morning, when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and his hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why to this day neither the priests of Dagon nor any others who enter Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. So this couple interesting things here. So first of all, none of the things, here's one thing I want us to take from this. None of the things that are crouching at your door in 2019 that want to have you are any match for the living God. That if we will align ourselves with God and His plans and His purpose in the year ahead, there is nothing that can stop those plans or that can mess up God's plans for your year. Nothing. The second thing I want us to get from this is that that Dagon fell twice. Here's what happens is when we want to get victory over something in our life, and we realize we need to make some choices, right? It's up to us to master it, to rule over it. So we make some choices. Maybe they're New Year's resolutions, maybe they're just a decision to make a change, to stop doing something or to start doing something. And we get 2 weeks down the road and we fall on our face. We fail. Right? And the enemy lies to us and says, you've blown it. See, you can't do it anyways. You might as well just give up. You know, maybe we wanted to spend more time in God's Word this year in 2018. And you know, at the beginning of the year as a church, we had a scripture reading plan and made that available to everybody. And maybe some of you got 3 months into it and you're just like, oh, there's so much reading, I just can't do it. And you just gave up. And the enemy came and he lied to you and he said, see, you don't deserve to read that book. You should just give up. You can't read the Bible. You should just give up. Right? But notice there was a gradual process of this Dagon being defeated. And so don't, when you make some steps towards God's plan for you in 2019, and if and when you fall on your face, don't give up. That thing, whatever it is, will be crushed, and you will overcome, and you will walk in victory if you just keep trusting the Lord. So God has some freedom for you in 2019. There are some things that need to be left behind. Some things God wants you to walk in freedom from in 2019. And there are some opportunities ahead. And some of you with monochrome hair, either white or gray or silver, are saying, oh, my days of doors of opportunity are over. There's no more doors waiting for me in 2019. There's one of the lies that needs to die. One of the lies you need to leave behind in 2018. Because if you're breathing, there are doors of opportunity for you in 2019. Maybe some are younger in the room and you're just saying, I got to wait till I grow up. I got to wait till I get a certain age. And then, you know, maybe there'll be doors of opportunity. God has things for you in this year that He wants to open up to you. Some levels of growing and levels of victory, some things He wants you to accomplish for His kingdom. There are people's lives that He wants you to impact and touch this year. And those doors are waiting. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus, this is where Jesus is dictating some letters to some churches. He's giving the words to John, and John's writing it down. Pass on to the churches. If Jesus wrote you a letter about 2019, what would be on it? If he wrote a letter to you about his dreams and plans, his heart for you, the things that delights him about you, the things that need to change for you, because he spoke all of those things to these churches, talked to them about their past, their future, the things that delighted him, the things that needed to change. If Jesus wrote a letter to you in 2019, for 2019, what would it look like? So Jesus writes to the church of Philadelphia in verse 7. Not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by the way, in case you're wondering. But in Turkey, ancient city, these are the words of him who is holy and true and holds the key of David. Holds the key of David. Now, we may not know what that means, and so we just skip over it. That's okay, he's got a key. Move on. No, that's really important. It's really important. How many know keys are important? Yes. Keys are important when you have them. They're important when you don't have them. The weekend before we moved here, we own a Mitsubishi Outlander, and when we bought it used, there was one key. Yeah, it's a terrible idea, isn't it? There was one key. And one of my daughters, I won't say which one, that lives in Bathurst, borrowed the vehicle. Pam was out of town, borrowed the vehicle, we had a kind of a fair going on in town, and it was I had actually helped run the fair for a number of years, and so it was the last weekend, you know, our last chance to be at the Thamesville Threshing Festival. Happen in times. And so we spent some time there. My daughter drove over, and lo and behold, she suddenly doesn't have the key. And we looked everywhere. We spent the entire weekend of the festival searching the grounds for that key. Because keys are really important when you have them and when you don't have them. We searched all weekend, and fortunately, after the carnies had kind of cleaned up, you know, moved all the, packed up all the, they found the key had been thrown, somebody had taken the key and tried, I think they tried to see what car it was for, and when they didn't know it didn't work, the thing, so, so they gave up and chucked it under one of the rides, and then they found it when they cleaned it up, right, so, so yeah, keys are really important when you have them, really important when you don't. Jesus says, I'm the one that holds the key of David. What does that mean? Well, that was prophesied back in Isaiah 22. God said, I'm going to send one who carries the key of David. Who was David? He was the king. He was the king on whom the Messiah was going to be modeled, and who would the Messiah would carry the authority of King David and would be sit on David's throne forever, right? And so Jesus saying, "I hold the key of David," is saying, "I hold the authority of the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." That's a pretty important key. right? It says, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. And he goes on to, I know your deeds. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. So he says, I'm the one that when I open a door, no, it stays open. Nobody can shut it. And when I shut a door, nobody getting that thing open. And then he says, and I have placed before you a door that no one can shut. And I just prophetically believe that this passage is for us today. That I am to tell you that God has opened a door for you in 2019 that no one can shut. That if you have the courage to walk through that door, God has awesome things in store for you. Now, okay, let's go here first, and then we'll get to that. So Jesus is the one who holds the key of David. Jesus is the one who has authority to open doors and close doors. However, in Matthew 16, Jesus says to the disciples in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So not only does Jesus have the key that opens whatever needs to open and shuts whatever needs to shut, but he has also given us keys of the kingdom that open doors and shut doors. And that sometimes when we hit obstacles to what we believe God wants to do in and through our lives, we just turn around and give up. Oh, I guess the door is closed. Guess we can't do that. When sometimes I believe Jesus is waiting for you, watching you, because he knows that he gave you the key. What did you do with it? Are you not going to open that door? The door of the kingdom that he wants you to walk through? Are you not going to step out in faith? And so oftentimes we're waiting for God while he's waiting for us. He's already given us the victory. He's already given us the authority, and we're asking him, begging and pleading for victory and authority. He's saying, I already gave it to you. Just walk in it. ...2019 is your year. Go for it. Now here's that, of course, needs to be balanced with humility. Right? We can't go around throwing open, you know, just thinking we can throw open any door we want, because there are times when doors need to stay shut. Right? And when I have, as a family, as Pam and I and our family have prayed about when God seems to be speaking to us about, you know, a new season of ministry. in the past. You know, we when there's a door, you walk through it, but you also pray, God, if this door is not of you, slam it shut. Lock it. Don't let me go through it, right? Lord, I believe this is a door for you, from you, and we're going to walk through it, but if it's not, slam it shut, right? I think we need to have that humility to say, Lord, I'm always submitting my path to you. One more passage, and then we need to wrap up. We went there already. Again in Revelation, this time chapter 10. Now, actually, as I'm doing this, can the worship team come up and get ready to do what you're going to do? Revelation 10. And I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun. His legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll which lay open in his hand. He planted, here's the thing, he planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. He's at the threshold. He's at a place of threshold. His right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. And when he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down." Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it. And he said, "There will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servant the prophets." Now, I know there's other implications to that, but I just sensed the Lord saying to us today, to especially if you feel this is something that rings true to you, grab onto it. The Lord saying, there will be no more delay. There are things that you have dreamed, that you have wanted to walk in, you have wanted to step into, and there have been things that have caused delay, whether it's fear, things that have kind of held you back or shackled you, that the Lord wants you to walk forward through the door, over the threshold, into 2019, with no more delay. There need be nothing that would hold you back from his best for you in the year ahead. Now, you hold little pieces of paper in your hands. A little green one, a little red one. And if you have a pen, if you don't, knock the person out next to you and take theirs or something. I don't know. Beg for one, borrow one. If Pam was here, she'd just open her purse and have one for all of you. But she's not. But find a pen if you can. I have one. Somebody want to borrow my pen? Didn't get the papers? We need some papers over here. Anybody else not get papers? Oh, there you go. We got them. Okay, so red is what do you want to leave behind in 2018? Is there an area of sin that has bound you? Is there an area of distraction that has held you back? Is there an area of fear that the enemy has kept you from God's best in 2018 because of fear? Are there some lies you've believed? What is it? What do you need to leave behind in 2018? Write that down on the red piece of paper. Red for stop, green for go. Yep, there you go. All right, so write that on the red piece of paper. And then on the green piece of paper, what is a dream? Let's go back to, if Jesus were to write a letter to you for 2019, what is something that sparks in your heart that you know God wants you to do in the year ahead? Maybe it's something you've never dared to do, but it's been burning in your heart for years. What is it that you think God wants you to walk into in 2019? Write that on the green piece of paper. And in a moment when the worship team starts, take a moment to write that out. When you're ready, I want you to get up from where you are and come and drop your red in the garbage bucket. Don't write your name on it. If you did, scratch it out. Nobody's going to read it. It's just garbage, because that's what it is. Whatever it is you need to leave behind in 2018, it's garbage. It's gone. It's done. All right, so I want to pray. And then just when you're ready, I want you to get up from where you are as an act of faith, saying, this thing is broken. It's done. It's gone. I'm leaving it behind in 2018. Bring it up and drop it in the garbage bucket. And then I want you to take the green one home with you and put it somewhere where you're going to see it. Stick it on your mirror in the bathroom. Put it on your fridge. Put it in your Bible. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it. Let it be a reminder to you that God has a plan and a purpose for you in the year ahead. Father God, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for your heart for them, your heart, God, for their victory, for them to overcome in 2019, for them to walk in a greater sense of purpose and authority and strength and freedom from the things that bind us and hold us back. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over those things that need to be left behind. And we take that key, that kingdom key you've given us, and we lock that stuff away in Jesus' name. We put it behind us with repentance. Say it's done. And Lord, I pray today that you would release into our lives in 2019 the new things that you have for us with no more delay. And we just declare it in Jesus' name.